The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The lack of consistency. That's what's causing the problems. We talk about all the specific problems, but you want to know the blanket thing? It's the lack of consistency. There it is. Summed all up. Lack of consistency. We don't know who to trust, and we don't have a compass.
Right.
If you have a compass and you're consistent, you've got to have some structure. You're guiding a ship, anything. You look for something, a point that you know is going to be fixed, and you guide from there. And for people to be frustrated now at President Trump when they were not frustrated in the previous 8 years is pretty damn frustrating. There's no consistency, and you're adding to more problems. It doesn't matter if you're accurate about what you're saying about Trump. That's a separate issue. If you have objections, complaints, things that are wrong about the president and you know it, fine, we'll discuss those. But if you're not consistent, how do we know the way out? Hey there, it's Doc Thompson pinch hitting for Glenn Beck this morning. Appreciate you joining us today. You can join the program via the Twitter, the phones, 888-727-BECK. You can join me on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Joined throughout the program by Brad Staggs and Brandon Morris from The Blaze as well. It's at The Blaze Brad and the Brandon Morris.
That's Morris, yeah, M-O-R-S-E.
M-O-R-S-E as well. It's got to be about consistency. For example, The Daily Beast had an article where they mentioned that Trump was like a drunken tourist on his trip abroad. And they said an unnamed official in the State Department said, when it comes to diplomacy, President Trump is a drunk tourist. State Department official. Unnamed.
I'm hearing that a lot in the reports that I have to do.
Right.
It's always like, well, you know, several sources who wanted to remain anonymous said.
Yeah. If it's that important to you that you have to write an article about it, you're so frustrated. This guy is such an abomination that you have to write about it. He's a drunk tourist. It's that important. And clearly it's not a national security issue for you to say something like this. Then speak up. Mm-hmm. First of all, you should say, no, go ahead and use my name. Or Daily Beast, you shouldn't run the article, or you should run the person's name, mm-hmm. if it's that important.
If the not, shoe was on the other foot, they would demand it.
Right, but you're playing into the worst of it. Unnamed official, you're just worried about covering your own ass.
Mm-hmm.
If it's that important that this guy is such a drunk tourist, which, okay, he kind of was, then you should be willing to stand. I'm willing to stand up and say it.
Right.
Right? How come you're not?
Mm-hmm.
You're more worried about yourself than this major issue that you're so upset about the President of the United States being such a horrible leader overseas. Do you see what I'm saying about the lack of consistency?
Yeah.
And where were you with every scandal? So the scandal about his son-in-law, Kushner, and others that maybe he was trying to set up a backdoor channel with the Russian government. Okay, that's a problem. Let's discuss it. The reason I say we need to investigate more and discuss this stuff is because I'm consistent with it. Right. I was during the Obama administration. I was during the George W. Bush administration. How come I never end up in a position where I get the president that goes, okay, I can defend this guy. This guy's solid. This guy's great. Mm-hmm. Trump, better than Obama.
Mm-hmm. And whatever happened to the president disappearing into obscurity when they were out of office?
Right. How come I don't get that guy? I'm always the odd man out. I'm always the one that's like, well, this guy's a problem too. Right? It must be nice when you're just so nutty in a camp where you could just continue to bitch and bitch and bitch or blindly support somebody. And then when the new guy comes in because it's a different party, just flip it all around like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So President Trump, did you see the video where he pushed the Prime Minister of Montenegro out of the way?
He came in like a wrecking ball. I mean,
he did. So
awesome.
He steps up, and I'll tweet out a link to the video if you haven't seen it by now. I think it's probably still up at theblaze.com, but I'll tweet out a link at Doc Thompson Show on Twitter, and I'll put it on my Facebook too. It's such a great clip.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, yeah, it's definitely
and
a problem.
It's still classic Trump, too, is what I love about it.
It's classic Trump, and it's also a little meme goes, okay, we're America.
Yeah.
We just push ourselves in front,
our suit.
It looked like a set-up music video. It really did. The first time I saw it, I thought that this thing had to have been set up.
So it shows Trump is kind of in the back of a group of them, and he wants to be in the front and center.
Right.
And he just, he kind of pushed his way up. I would kind of nudge people to the side, slide through, go around.
Slip on in.
He just puts his hand right on the shoulder of the Prime Minister of Montenegro and just pushes him out. And the look on his face is like, you're Montenegro. You get in the back. You know who's up front?
Make America. Way for America.
And then, Britain. And then, Germany, come on up a little closer.
Montenegro. Half people don't even know you exist.
I know. The look on his face, though.
Was the pulling down of the jacket.
That's my favorite part. It's the smug look on his face and the adjustment.
It's a card pull.
Yeah. After he does the, get out of the, and then he steps to the scent, straightens his jacket and looks up. I'm ready for my close-up now, Mr. DeMille. Right?
I mean, as much as I don't like Trump, that I appreciate. I do. I appreciate that.
Well, right. Some of those things, but that's about consistency.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never changed the stuff. My objections to Donald Trump were some of his policies, beliefs, and things that he had supported prior to getting elected.
Yeah.
I've given him his due. Great Supreme Court pick. A few other things I like. Some I don't. I'm admitting this is probably not the best for diplomacy.
Right.
But I kind of like it a little bit.
But we've had so long of Obama just being like the bowing and the scraping to other world leaders and like, we're just America. We're not that great. And then here we have Trump who, once again, folks, I'm not the biggest fan, but I'm ready. I was ready for somebody to just push other leaders aside and be like, no, we're at the front.
Right, okay. Exactly. And that's right.
This is what I am, and this is what you are.
Right. And I think that's why a lot of people supported him too. They're tired of looking weak. And although there's a fine line between being strong and being a jerk.
Right.
And maybe he crosses that line.
Yeah, he found that line and crossed it.
I would rather cross the line a little more into jerk than being somebody that's walked upon.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's...
And allows his people to be walked upon.
Right, because that's what happens. A good portion of the world only understands force. North Korea, they only understand strength. Russia. So, by the way, people on the left that hate Trump, you think he's cozying up with Russia and whatever, too much like them, at least he's willing to stand up to them.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of attitude he has. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the way back to the Carter administration, do you remember what a doormat we were, laughing stocks around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, people in Iran walking all over us. Reagan comes in and says, this is what America is going to be. And although I don't think we should be jerks, yes, you have to present a strong image. Mm-hmm. I'd rather Trump cross that line into being a jerk at times and being too arrogant than not being strong enough. Because they're always going to say, oh, arrogant Americans.
Yeah.
But we're never going to change that.
No, of course not. And we shouldn't try, right? But strength to many people is going to have to look like jerks to the people who that strength is imposing on. That's just nature of the world. But in order to actually exceed and be at the front, we have to show a little strength. We kind of have to be a little bit of a jerk. That's just the facts.
Yeah, because the people that are calling us arrogant, you know where they're calling us arrogant from? Some other place that's not America.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it's like going, oh, Facebook and Apple. How many companies do I own?
Exactly. It's just like Yahoo looking at Google and being like,
those arrogant jerks. How dare they? Oh, they're really successful. Okay, got it. So there's something we're doing right there, right?
Right.
I mean, there's something, and what is the foundation in that core?
Right.
So enough of the anonymous sources. Enough of the unnamed State Department person that, the official who wouldn't come on record.
Mm-hmm.
Start naming these people.
Yeah.
How can I trust you? See, if you're on the left and you're saying, Doc, all these things are wrong and Trump is so horrible, whatever, fine. I've said, let's investigate. But I was also the one who said, let's investigate Hillary and Obama on things like Benghazi and the Fast and Furious and the IRS targeting and all of this stuff. That's consistency. Where were you on that? But how about now you at least start naming your sources? If it's so important for you, if this is such an issue, start putting it on record. And the reason I say that is because we can't trust you because of your past transgressions. All of the things that we've adjusted or objected to over the years, mm-hmm. your lack of support for any investigation that people didn't ideologically automatically line up with you, mm-hmm. shows I cannot trust you.
Right.
So you need something else now. And what you have to bring to the table, you start naming some sources. And if you're the source, you start saying, fine, name me. Because right. what are you losing there right. if you're the source?
It is so painfully obvious that this president is getting it from both sides of the aisle.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it doesn't matter. Democrat, Republican, they're all going after him.
You'll recall, though, Eric Erickson, I think, said on this very program, though, when he was talking to Glenn about how some of the unnamed sources that are talking about Trump are coming from within his administration mm-hmm. because they can't get him to listen to them otherwise unless what they are saying is in the headlines. Because that's
an unusual presidency.
It is. No, it's a very unusual presidency. And I hate to say this, but I do believe that it's very much based on pride. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And if someone attacks his pride in the media, he instantly responds. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear stories about them having to make sure that he's not on Twitter all the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But this is just one of those things where I hear that and I can believe it. I believe that they're going to the media first before they go to Trump because it's the only way that they can get him to act.
So I have a question. I'm going to need your help with this one here because this is one of the odd areas where I don't have a definitive right and wrong. I don't know what to do about this. And my values are really consistent. There's just so many pieces of the puzzle I'm about to lay out, and that is North Korea. Mm-hmm. What do we do about North Korea? Secondarily, Iran and then the Philippines. I think the Middle East is a little more clear cut, although that's always messy.
Right.
What do we do with North Korea? They launched another and tested another missile, this one even closer to Japan than they have in the past over the weekend. And they're continuing to become or continue to be more aggressive. So what do we do about North Korea? I need to hear from you. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. We'll get to your calls coming up. How do we handle North Korea? I'm not somebody who wants to police the world. We shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. We've gotten bogged down in things like that in the past, so I vehemently say we need to avoid that. On the other hand, what about the people of North Korea? If we are ever going to help people, the North Korean people need our help. But also, are we in jeopardy ourselves because of this stuff? And we have to stand with our allies.
Right.
And yet, do we have the money to go and do these type of things? And what if North Korea, as they likely would, launch some missiles and a bunch of American troops or Japanese or South Koreans that are our friends and partners, what if they get hurt? There's not a clear-cut answer that I can come up with. So
the problem is, it's that one person, not necessarily the North Korean people. The mm-hmm. one,
right? It's the one.
The one little
it's
guy.
Kim Jong Un,
and he is insane. I mean, let's face facts. This is a guy who all his life was told he was just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and that he can do anything he wants to.
I'm going to get a call, and then we'll get a quick break, and then we'll get some of your calls. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. You can follow me there and send some messages using the hashtag What I Learned Today, and we'll get to those coming up on the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey there, it's Doc Thompson. We'll get some of your calls coming up about what we're supposed to do about North Korea, being somebody that is torn between helping people that are truly being oppressed and, you know, caring about human rights and my fellow man as a Christian, but also as somebody that says it's not our responsibility to police the world. And North Korea is going to be a quagmire if we get involved. Even if we do good there, there will be some pain we're going to have to endure. Mm-hmm. Likely something is amping up. We are coming to a head one way or another with this. I don't know if it's tomorrow or 6 months from now, but eventually we're going to have to deal with North Korea, whatever that is. It could just be some sort of cyber attack that we unleash. It could be something more militarily. Based on what happened over the weekend, I wouldn't be shocked if we see something today or tomorrow. If it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, it'll probably be weeks down the road.
You think from our side or from their side?
From our side. What happened over the weekend is likely going to spur Trump and our allies to take some sort of action.
Yeah.
They launched another missile. This was yesterday. It was a Scud-type missile, and they keep increasing the technology. and the payload that it can carry. The one over the weekend went into the Sea of Japan, into their economic maritime zone where ships come and trade. That's where it landed, clearly trying to intimidate them.
Yeah.
And this has gotten more accurate and closer to Japan than some of the other ones in the past. Japan, of course, is pissed. They freaked out. South Korea's freaked out. They immediately called for an emergency meeting of the Security Council. Trump was speaking with them soon after it happened as well. The president of South Korea called for that emergency meeting. Now, Kim Jong-un has only been in power for 6 years, okay? And he has already tested more missiles than his father and grandfather did combined. So his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, tested 16 over his administration. His father, Kim Jong-il, tested 15.
Right.
And Kim Jong-un, 78. 16 and 15 for their entire administration, their entire rule. And he's done 78 in 6 years.
Maybe you can help me out on this because I am very confused. So after the sanctions were passed not long ago, like in 2016, Kim Jong-un responded by building these high-rises in Pyongyang to make sure that everyone still knew that he was the boss man, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they didn't have the necessary materials to actually finish this high-rise. They actually had to skimp on a lot. And in order to compensate, they actually went to people's residences and said, give me your pots and pans, any kind of metal that you have, so that we can actually put it into this high-rise. Melted them down, right? If they didn't have anything to give, by the way, they fined them.
Right.
So if they don't have the necessary materials to build a high rise in Pyongyang, how are they getting all of the material they need to throw into all of these missiles for all of these tests?
They're actually getting some of it on the black market, but a lot of it over the years has come from China. China has been one of their exclusive upfront training partners. And part of the reason that things are, I think, amping up now is because China is kind of caught. If they want to keep the money still coming from the U.S. with us buying their cheap crap, they've got to appease us a little bit.
Yeah.
And that 38 parallel is not as big a deal to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do they care if North Korea became part of South Korea now?
Yeah.
If it became, you know, a republic,
right.
If it became democracy. They're still right there. It's not going to be as big a deal as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea is already in the region. So they've been putting more economic pressure on North Korea, saying we're not going to trade with you as much. They turned back some of their coal ships and stuff. So North Korea is becoming more desperate to sell their stuff to get money and also bring in more stuff. Many experts are saying that they think that the pace North Korea is on with building their missiles, that they can could reach Seattle and carry one of their own built nuclear warhead before the end of Trump's administration, his first term.
Well, and that's what Kim Jong-un has said. The bigger gift package, as he said, to the United States is what working on. A bigger gift package to the United States after successfully launching that
either that's lost in translation.
That's a little strange.
Or
it could be a party.
Is it being snarky? Yeah. Or maybe he's turning over a new leaf. About that missile. I've got a big gift package for you coming. It's a nice fruit basket.
That's right.
It'll have some CDs in it. How do you feel about that Luther Vandross?
This is North Korea. They're still on tape.
Right, exactly.
Cassettes.
Right,
they're still like, we got some mixtapes. I got some mixtapes coming your way.
Got some cassettes. I made them myself.
That's right.
Love him. It's Kim Jong-un giving him speeches of himself on tape. There it is.
He's a great dancer, by the way. Great dancer.
Well, all of those classes he took, you know. It's highly likely that North Korea was also responsible for that cyber attack, that malware one that hit 150 countries, a bunch of banks a couple of weeks ago. It looks like Russia may have gotten the technology from the NSA by hacking part of it and then tried to sell it on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the allegations, and we're not successful, but that North Korea then put it into use. And North Korea has its own floor of people that do nothing but hacking, and they're really good at it, and this is something we've known for a while. So if that's truth, if they were responsible for this WannaCry malware extortion, and it looks like they may have been responsible for some of the past attacks, like the one on Sony that was a couple years ago, this is now a national security threat by itself. And then the continued missile testing and the fact that they have nuclear capabilities. What are we going to do? Should we do anything? Is it actually a threat? Your calls coming up next on the Glenn Beck radio program.
The Glenn Beck program. Mercury. Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson for Glenn today. Joining me, Brad Staggs and also Brandon Morris as well from The Blaze. We're going to get right to some of your calls. Coming up in a couple of minutes, I'll run down the list of some of the aggressions, specifically the missiles that North Korea has launched in the last few months or so. But let's go right to North Carolina. And Henry, how are you? Hey, Henry. Yes, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing well. So what do we do about North Korea?
Well, first of all, what we do is test our NATO allies. We set up a blockade, choke them off from the rest of the world, choke them off, and see which allies are really with us. And it's a test for both worlds, and the blockades have always worked throughout history. I don't recall one that did not work. So to me, and then if it pushes them into the aggression, then they're the aggressors.
Here's the thing. The sanctions that we've put in place over the years have been somewhat effective. Unfortunately, we've let them off the hook at times. But recently, we haven't. In fact, we got China to say they're not going to take their coal and they turn back their ships, so they're not making any money or making less money. And China is also not trading with them to send them goods. So there are effectively blockades in place, maybe not to, you know, the extreme you're talking about. And then secondarily, if it pushes them into being the aggressor, that makes us look better. We were not the aggressor, but it still doesn't stop them from attacking the almost 30,000 U.S. troops in South Korea, Seoul, Japan.
Yeah.
It still doesn't deal with the problem, though, does it?
Well, if China's got them cut off by land, and that's they're cutting off their gas supplies and whatnot, which is in the right direction. That's absolutely positive. Then the last thing left is cutting them off by sea. So my thinking would be that if we cut them off in both areas and we are walking hand in hand with China, and so to speak, and then, like I said, NATO's a big issue right now, and we test to see who would like to send a ship or two to also help, because the world needs to take on the problem, but we need to take the lead.
Henry, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
My problem with this is that Kim Jong-un is a vindictive person. When he feels like he's been slighted, or if he feels like he's been made to look weak, he reacts in very odd ways. Like I said earlier, that whole entire, he built a series of high-rises in Pyongyang with money and supplies that he did not have. That is the kind of reaction that he has to being made to look weak. If the world gangs up on him, his Juche mentality, the Juche mentality that all North Koreans are like hammered with, will kick in, and he'll pretty much lash out on everybody.
Well, he's a crazy man. He is
insane.
All right, let's go to Bill in California. Bill, you're on the Glenn Beck Radio Program. How are you?
Yeah, this whole thing with the missiles. Number one, I think they're giving us free targets to practice our anti-missile capabilities. The only downside is if they fail, then these people are going to go, oh, we can't do that because we'll look bad. I think we should just take advantage of that and use that. We do have, ships over there, et cetera. The other thing is President Trump needs to, he's already talking to Japan and South Korea, and they need to tell these people, just like he did with NATO, look, all this stuff is costing us a fortune, the ships, the men, the missiles, everything. And you guys, if you want us to help you, we need some financial help or some kind of help that's real, some real materials or whatever it is, because we're broke. We're $20 trillion in debt and growing.
Well, Bill, I get that, but how do we, first of all, should we take some sort of action at this point based on their...
This guy, just like you just said, he's vindictive. This guy is not going to change.
So we got to go in and nip it, just take out the snake.
We have to, because it's just going to, it's like the PLOs and the Israelis. It's going to go on forever, except this guy, I don't think it's going to wait forever.
Do you say that based on America's national security? Is that your motivating force here?
Well, it's not just ours. We have obligations to allies. We have to do something. It's like, you've got this gun and you built all this stuff up. And now you're going to do nothing, because all we've had so far is just, lip flapping, so to speak. We're saying this and that and the other, but no action. And we need some action. And it's like, okay, everybody's afraid of World War III. Well, you know, this guy is shooting missiles.
Right.
And it's like he's threatening, and he has to be stopped.
The reason I ask your motivations, and I agree with you for those points as well, Bill, but thank you so much for the call. The reason I ask you that, the DMZ is about 2.5 miles wide, and it is one of the, if not the most fortified borders on the planet. Mm-hmm. North Korea has amassed, aside from nukes and aside from missile technology, they have amassed guns, rocket launchers. I mean, it is on that border. All 150 miles coast to coast. It is just lined. It is thick. Seoul is 30 miles or so from the DMZ. Pyongyang's not much farther than that on the other side, but Seoul is that close. They could easily kill tens of thousands of people in Seoul. Seoul mm-hmm. has about 20 million people, more than New York has. It's in a metro area. New York has, I think, 7.5 million in the city, 8 or so in the metropolitan area, right. So 15 total. It's more populated than New York, just to give you some perspective. If we go in and American soldiers die, and I think there's about 30,000 in South Korea, we don't want any American soldiers to die, but at least soldiers know that they're in there
right.
and can be called on upon any time to fight. But the other Americans that are there and the South Koreans who are our partner, they're going to die. They're going to people die. So I don't know if we can stop them from dying.
Right.
But then again, if you say this is going to get really bad and they could hit Seattle by the end of Trump's first term with a nuke, and the guy is crazy enough to do it, and then you've got all the malware attacks and whatever, how long before they unleash something that shuts us down? And think about this, folks. If we have a disruption in our internet capability, it doesn't even have to be electronic, like an EMP or something. Right. If we had that disruption for a day, Americans will wig out.
The 20 minutes without the internet, those commercials.
Right.
True. The economy will take a hard dive too. I mean, they will. I mean, that's a lot of where our business is right now.
Right. And we've learned, remember, the attack on 9/11 wasn't just about the fear and the 3,000 people that died and the planes and the buildings. It was also an economic attack. Do you know how much damage they did with that alone?
Yeah.
That's what terrorism does. It hits on all those fronts. There was a time, I think like 3 years or so ago, where the EBT card system, which is just the electronic benefits, it's electronic food stamps now.
Oh, I remember this story.
Yeah, they're on like credit card. It went down in six states for like, I don't know, 10 hours or whatever it was on like a chaos. Friday or Saturday.
I don't even know if it was that long.
It was a few hours or something. It was chaos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People were looting. And I don't mean like in the ghetto and just poor. It was like some average places. People wanted to use their card and said, the hell with it. You're not staying in my way. I swiped. If it didn't do, I'm going.
Yeah.
And the stores were like, we better let them go. That was just a few hours in six states.
Yep.
Imagine that, not even the course of a week or two, just a couple of days. For all of the internet, all of our technology, credit cards or whatever, if there's that level of disruption, think about what it does to all of us. It stops all plans we have. It stops us from booking flights, getting money out of the bank. People wig out. Civil disobedience, the economy. If they unleash something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine our last caller said that they're giving us a lot of targets for our anti-missile system. The system has worked in fewer than half of its previous 9 tests.
Ooh.
So we're not doing real well on that front either.
We've got it. We've tested some missiles recently as well, which is kind of a back and forth, kind of a tit for tat. And we've got one now. Today, I think there's a test that is specifically an interceptor one. It's the missiles we will test today isn't if we could hit somebody. It's if we could block a missile from coming in.
Didn't the IDF perfect this technology, though, I feel like? I mean, their whole entire dome system is based off the idea that they can just easily
Iron Dome, right?
Yeah, they can easily catch a missile in midair.
I don't know how perfected, but yeah, they've tested it multiple times and it's worked. So.
Yeah, no.
Let's get some more calls. 888-727 Beck. Let's go to Chris in Florida now. Chris, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Love your discussion this morning. In fact, I've met you before. And
it was exciting, wasn't it?
He's tall, isn't he?
It was exciting. You were loving it, I'm sure.
Thrilling.
Hey, Chris. Myself, my husband. Thank you so much. What do we do about North Korea?
Well, I think we need to make it simple for everyone. The lesson of Neville Chamberlain is blatantly obvious. We cannot cower to bullies. Mm-hmm. Being nice to dictators doesn't ensure our safety. In fact, it results in larger consequences later on. So the appeasement Madeleine Albright accomplished under previous regimes has simply made them more powerful in their belligerence, and we've got to stop this. We have to let them know, punch them in the face.
Is North Korea now at that point we do something? And number two, is it different? Is North Korea different from other places that are bad, that could be a threat? Even Iran, I think, is probably a step behind with their nuclear development. Is North Korea at that level now in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we need to be consistent in our behavior and do this wherever we find bullying. We can't cower to bullies. It's simple as that. You don't trade with people who are taking captives and doing bad things. You don't give them more tools so they can do worse things later. And that's exactly what we've done in North Korea. We have to stand up to them because the side effects are going to be even worse. The collateral damage is going to be even worse the more he learns and the more he finds it useful as a tool.
Well, listen, Chris, I appreciate your call this morning, and I agree about bullies, which is the reason I gave James on Camera One a noogie last Thursday. Yeah. I was like, I am no longer going to take your bullying anymore.
I took
anymore.
Jason's lunch money.
Thank you. Well, you may be a problem and do it the wrong way. Look, quickly, let's go to Pennsylvania and get George. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Doc. What it amounts to is, or at least how I see it, is what is the longer-term gain for North Korea by having a war? It seems to me that there is bigger benefit for them to be having a threat of using a weapon unless they are in conspiracy with other countries that, if you take a look at North Korea, what are they? They're nothing. And besides that, you talked about before about China turning back their coal. There's not. There have been reports that the coal trucks and the coal trains are rolling across the border anyway. The ships may be turning back, but they're going back over land.
Over land.
Yes, and so what is the benefit of North Korea having a war? I don't see it unless North Korea is just going to be the sacrificial punching bag where North Korea is the one that launches the EMP or launches the nuke like that.
Do you think we're okay right now and we should just kind of ride this out a little bit?
I think we should show strength. Mm-hmm. I think we could throw a few more sanctions on them. This is not a show of weakness. This is not a Neville Chamberlain moment. I think it's more... they've got more to lose by not having action.
Do we have a responsibility to the people of North Korea that are being tortured to the nth degree?
To a degree, yes, but we do not need to go charging in there to save them at our boys' expense. Okay. It is not so much our problem, unfortunately. I don't want to come off as being heartless to those people, but there are some problems we can't solve.
I agree with that. George, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. That makes a lot of sense. As far as sanctions, I don't know how much more you can do, but North Korea really is... a suicide bomber.
But I was going to say that's assigning logic to North Korea,
right.
Which I don't
and
think there is any.
He's crazy.
Yes.
Kim
yes.
Jong-un
yeah.
is crazy. Yes. You can't be raised in that environment to believe all of this stuff and not, you know, be sizing things up. You've got yes men around mm-hmm. you that tell you you're this great. He's essentially a suicide bomber and he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
He could kill tens of thousands of people.
Absolutely.
But he will be dead within hours.
Yeah.
This is not a hold it out. We're going to have to hunt for him. It's a war. He and his family and his regime, they will be obliterated. Mm-hmm. But the fear is that he will do a lot of damage beforehand. Back in a moment with more calls and more on the program. It's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Secretary of Defense Mattis was asked about North Korea, and he said a conflict in North Korea would probably be the worst kind of fighting in most people's lifetime. The bottom line is it would be a catastrophe, a catastrophic war. If this turns into a combat, if we are not able to resolve this situation through diplomatic means, a bunch of people are going to die. It's going to be pretty rough. Mm-hmm. But they also asked on Face the Nation, they asked Mattis, mm-hmm. what keeps him up at night? Did you listen to this?
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Oh! That almost sounds like a stock line.
God, that's amazing. Right there.
I am the danger.
Right. I'm like, wow, is that
I am the one who knocks.
How long has he had the that line just waiting?
I know, just when he has like an entire bucket full of sayings that he's got.
Because he asked my question.
How many does he have? He's out there saying all sorts of stuff. He's like, I'm saying this with tears in my eyes. Don't F with me or I'll kill you.
That's awesome.
That almost like the
he has a writer.
Yeah, he's got a team of writers, like action writers in the back. They all also work on the Fast and Furious movies.
They go right for him as well. That should give you a little bit of confidence. But the point is, if this guy, I keep people awake at night, is telling you North Korea is going to be bad if we're doing something militarily, ooh, that's not the guy.
No,
that's the guy you walk in. No, we can kick their ass. That's fine, right? It's like this is going to be really bad for some people. Yeah. That's not good. All right, more to come in the Glenn Beck program. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Doc Thompson Show. Follow at The Blaze Brad and The Brandon Morse.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm joined also by Brad Staggs. You want to follow him on Twitter, it's The Blaze Brad. And Brandon Morse, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at The Brandon Morse. And today we're using the hashtag What I Learned Today. But we're also going to be using the hashtag Kids. Make sure I get this right. Kids terrorism books.
Yep.
Kids terrorism books. You know, you think of some old titles that maybe kids books that they've read over the years. And you got some suggestions. Kids terrorism books. Because over in England, they have a new book, a new teaching resource for kids suggesting how maybe you teach kids about terrorism.
Right.
I would think in a place like Europe, Britain in particular, after last week.
Yeah.
Maybe you may teach terrorism like things like, wow, people who kill other people are bad, especially
right?
when you kill the most innocent among us as well. Stuff like that.
Exactly.
But that's not how it is, Brandon.
No, it's not. You know, it's kind of amazing to me. It was actually released just before the Manchester terrorist attack, though. But at the same time, this is a teaching tool for teachers who it basically encourages them to tell their students to write a letter to a terrorist. Ask them six questions.
wait.
If you could ask a terrorist six questions, what would they be?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, wait a minute. Write a letter to a terrorist?
Write a letter to a terrorist.
Will these be delivered or just posted? I'm like, because if you say, hey, write a letter to a terrorist, then we'll track it.
This isn't
it.
Like, yeah, exactly. This isn't like writing a letter to your congressman, you know, like we were encouraged to do back when we were, no, write a letter to a terrorist. That's apparently the person who's actually making the real policies.
Dear Mr. Terrorist,
why are you blowing me up?
Right.
Why do you want to kill me?
Yeah. They're also like, you know, they are saying like the suffrage. This is contained in the pamphlet that they hand out. The suffragists used violence and were called terrorists. The guide suggests today many people think of them as brave women and admire their struggle for the right to vote.
What?
They are saying basically that one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist.
And they were mentioning the suffragettes.
Correct. They're comparing the people who actually fought for the right to vote and freedom as the same as the people who went around killing children.
Well, and I'm going from memory here. You know, if I remember right, the Ariana Grande concert in 1911, I think that's where the women blew up the...
That's right.
And killed like 20-some people, right?
Right.
That was insane. To vote.
She was going crazy on that ragtime piano.
And Susan B. Anthony, the suicide bomber. Right. You remember her.
Yeah.
I mean, she was with a vest and all of that.
And she was votes for women, and then she killed them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
This is the stupidest thing I've ever... don't get me wrong. England can be a very backward country when it comes to certain things like free speech and whatnot. This whole entire like going toward the sympathy vote for, or the sympathy for terrorists thing, which I see just infecting Europe to the point where...
If you're mentioning the suffragettes, I get that throughout history, people have practiced civil disobedience. Right. I get that. Sometimes they've crossed the line. Sometimes people that we revere, like suffragettes, have done some things that broke the law, maybe even a little bit violent. I've never condoned those.
Right.
But even so, there is a huge leap from that, from even, you know, clubbing somebody in the street,
right,
to blowing up children at a concert.
Right.
I mean, that's insane. That leap is light years ahead.
And you know what? I mean, like, these are the, this is the same radical Islamic extremists that believe that raping a woman in the street because she's wearing red. This is a game to them. I think it's called a Baharush or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, raping a woman in the street because she looks like a Westerner. That's a game to them. All right. They're going to compare that to the suffragettes?
Again, we're trying to assign logic to a place there is none.
But the funny thing about that, you're right, is the suffragettes were fighting for women's rights, female rights. You're justifying the way they treat women, which is cover up, poor, you can't drive, you can't vote.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite.
Exactly.
That's why I say when you take progressive ideology, which is also this extremist ideology, and you lay out their values side by side, they do not run parallel, they conflict.
Right.
They are in conflict because the ideas are failed. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect example of it right there. So also, write a letter to a terrorist then, and then there are other ideas that you, questions you should ask them.
No, they didn't say like what questions you should ask them. Just like if you could ask any, you know, terrorist six questions, then you should. But it's supposed to be structured in a question and answer format, just talking about terrorism to kids. That's the whole point of it.
Okay,
the whole point is to make them seem more human.
Okay, there's a failure if you think you could actually have a conversation with a terrorist like this because they are so far gone. It doesn't matter. Anybody that could do this, they're out of their minds. And then, if there is a question you could sit down and ask them, it's one question.
Right.
And that's it. Why are you being such a dirtbag?
Yeah.
That's it.
One of the things that it teaches, that one reason why some people commit mass murder, which, by the way, they call a type of war, quote unquote, is because they believe they are being treated unfairly and not shown respect.
And this is, again, a teaching tool.
This is a teaching tool for kids.
Okay. Well, this is the reason, if it's a teaching tool in a new book, kids terrorism books, get that, use that hashtag.
Kids terrorism books.
You got a suggested title, let us know via the Twitter. Brandon, I get that there are many things that lead people to this. It's not just, I want to be an extremist.
Right.
First of all, there's a lot of these people that are crazy.
Yes.
They're just nuts.
Absolutely.
There are people that are driven by extremist ideology. Some of that, if you take it back a step, comes from their poverty and their lack of education.
Right.
This is true. This is all over the Middle East. These people have been brainwashed not for generations, for millennia. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Yeah. For thousands
since the
of years.
Time.
Every generation, going back as far as you can count, has been brainwashed a little bit more. And it's built on control.
Right.
It's poverty that forces some people into doing bad things, even here in America.
Here in America, you can see the exact same thing. Where is crime highest?
Right.
In low-wage areas with zero education.
And without education. And, but we still don't justify what they do, and that's what's lost here on this. I can have a discussion with the crazy people who wrote this book and suggested we talk to kids about this, because those are valid points. We can sit down. I agree. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to handle some of that. Where are you in this teaching tool, starting with, that's wrong, it's bad, they must be punished, at times they must be stopped with force?
Yes.
Because that's a part of the equation as well.
Yes, exactly. I completely agree with you on that. I feel like after every terrorist attack, you have this entire slew of people going in and saying like, well, you know, they have their reasons, and not all Muslims, and they are correct. Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, we have to realize that this call for peace and like prosperity and love will lead the, no, it won't. No. Sometimes you have to stop things with a bullet.
They want you to die, and there is no way you can negotiate
exactly
with someone whose starting point is wanting to kill you.
Exactly. They have been trained from birth to want to kill you.
Right.
There is no convincing them otherwise.
Nope.
All right. This is in their blood.
Unfortunately,
the only thing they're going to understand is a bullet. That's it.
Unfortunately, the economic situations in these poverty-stricken countries and the lack of education leads to a lot of these people being ruleable, that they are easily ruled by dictators. It sets it up. And then when you tie in the religious factor, their faith to it, where you can claim as this leader that you were anointed by God to treat people poorly, you know what I mean? That it's easy to control. Again, it's learned behavior. It's just what you know. There are cultures that eat disgusting foods. It's because you do at birth, and it's just what you know.
Right.
There are reasons we do things in America that we, you know, have football on Sundays, whatever. It's just ritual.
Yeah,
we do these things.
Like things.
It's ingrained.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. There must be both sides of the equation. I believe that we must meet some of this terrorism with force, with strength. But I believe we also have to understand and help as much as we can. Educate, deal with the economic situations.
A lot of these people do get into terrorism because they don't have any other option.
Right.
Like, you know,
but we need to make sure those of you that are screaming for this after Manchester and what is likely going to come to America, whenever, 6 months, a year, we'll see another terrorist attack. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That you also get there has to be a level of force.
Right.
And the problem is, a lot of people that are soft on terrorism do not understand that. They only want to go into the sympathy mode. You're missing out if you don't understand that. I get that.
Yeah.
Overnight last night, there were two separate car bombings in Baghdad. One outside of an ice cream parlor that killed 27 people. It was a car bomb that went off in a peaceful area, people just getting ice cream, walking outside the shop, and killed 27 people.
Didn't even make headlines.
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a second one in Baghdad, same day, in a busy area during rush hour, killed 12 people. I mean, both of them wounding dozens other.
Right.
They killed 39 people in two separate attacks. We had 22 people killed in Manchester, and we know about it. Now, I get that we identify as Americans with America first,
right,
and that's a good thing. And we identify with the West secondarily, and it just kind of goes from there.
Right.
Because we understand them. Our cultures are closer. We know them more. But if you cannot look at the attacks that happened in Baghdad because those people are different and say that's a problem as well, these attacks happen all over the world, a lot of times in the Middle East, and we don't even pay attention to it. If you're upset that those children were killed, if you look at other terrorist attacks and you really empathize or sympathize with the people that were killed and say, this is horrible, people killed, then you've got to say it about those people as well, even if those people are Muslim, even if you don't understand those people. The true fact is that ISIS and the extremist Muslims out there that are killing people are killing more Muslims than anybody else by far.
I've said that so many times. The number one victim of Muslims is Muslims, actually.
Ramadan started, which is the anti-Christian hunger strike, I believe. Right, Cal? Cal's spinning the dials for us on the control. That's
not exactly, but okay.
Cal happens to be a man of Muslim faith. Cal, give us a brief idea of what
Ramadan is. It's a holy month. It's supposed to bring you close with God. You're supposed to do less about yourself, more for others. You're supposed to take time to volunteer more, help
and it leads
more,
up to
prayer more.
What's it lead up to? One final day.
Yeah, the celebration is kind of like similar to Christmas. It's called Eid. It's the final day.
Okay,
where
so
a big celebration. Family.
So the month of Ramadan is not dissimilar, at least in what you're looking to achieve with like Lent, where you're supposed to refocus on your
and it's about
your
family
faith type thing.
And,
okay,
and, you know,
it's Eid al-Fitr.
Eid just means any holiday, right?
Eid means celebration.
Celebration, okay, got it. So Ramadan started on Friday, and you see these attacks. The extremists are now treating Ramadan and other Muslim holidays, the holiest days for them, as an excuse to go and blow people up. It should be just the opposite.
Right.
It should be one of those, right, where if you're really of that faith, you'd go, oh, wait a minute, yeah, I believe in this jihad. Let me go ahead and, oh, that's what it says. You got to treat people good, not kill people. And no, in fact, last year during Ramadan, there was one attack that killed 300 people.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, I went to a Catholic mass in Irving, Texas, because I'm down here, and I've been checking out different churches in the area to find one I like to go to. And in the middle of the mass, a guy comes running up the aisle, waving his arms. And at first I was like, because I'm always worried in church that it's going to be somebody trying to shoot the place up. It's always in the back of my mind.
Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
And that was my second. Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't have any weapon, and he is moving pretty quick, and he's flailing. Like, maybe he's okay. I've seen that before. All right. You know, what's going on? He makes it all the way up to the altar and starts screaming obscenities.
Oh.
Dropping the F-bomb, the C-bomb, the S-word. I mean, it's all over the place. He actually chest bumps the lectern, the podium where the priest is speaking.
Wow.
And the priest just keeps going. And then everybody's like, okay, swearing here. Something's going wrong. And a bunch of guys then come up, and in a nice way, they kind of immobilize him when they called for an ambulance. He was clearly on drugs or crazy something. And they took him out. And everybody sat there uncomfortably like, do we continue with mass?
Do we just pretend like this didn't happen?
Will there be communion still? I mean, what do you do? And then we prayed for him and went on. But I thought about this, those same people out on the street tomorrow at a bar or restaurant, whatever, see that same guy doing that. Are they going to treat him the same way as they did in church? I wouldn't think so.
No. Probably not.
I'm thinking there may be a little bit rougher on the guy, because they did immobilize him. Yeah. They just kind of piled on in a nice way. And the reason I bring that up is because the same thing during Ramadan, right? Isn't that a time you're like more aware of your faith?
Right. No, I completely agree with that.
Should be.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I mean, obviously, if you're a terrorist and an extremist, you're going to make the world conform to your beliefs.
Right.
And that shows you who these people are.
Exactly.
Quick break, back with more on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Program.
Everybody booms. Hashtag kids terrorism books. Thank you to Shield Maiden Mom for that one. Everybody booms. Lori D, listener number 9, tweeting, Harry Potter and a sorcerer that must be stoned.
Jared Bingham, the unforgiving tree.
Nicole, ticka ticka boom boom. Deadpool, two retweets for me on these. Allah in Wonderland and the little car bomb that could.
Okay, this one's my favorite. The Shano 747, redfish, bluefish. Here's a suicide vest.
Kind of misses the.
Lori D had another rhyme. Good one. Curious George and the suicide vest. It's amazing how people can deal with things like this with humor.
Oh yeah,
because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, your head will explode from the insanity.
Kids terrorism books. Hashtag kids terrorism books. If you want to follow us on the Twitter, it's at Doc Thompson Show. Get those into us or whatever. Brad and I were talking over the weekend how we laugh at so much inappropriate humor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't get that.
Yeah.
When you're like struggling with stuff,
yeah,
the worse it is, the more you need to laugh. And sometimes the humor, it's not an endorsement of bad stuff to laugh at terrorism. Right. I don't think the act of terrorism is funny.
I was having to explain
it's satirical.
This, yeah. Well, I was having to explain this very thing to my girlfriend not long ago, where I was like, look, you know, we here in the news industry and stuff like that, we are constantly viewing a world through a lens that makes it look like it's on fire constantly. Like that we are seeing 10% of the world right now.
See the worst of society.
Exactly. This is what we have to work with every single day. So yeah, our humor gets a little dark because it helps us deal with it, you know? But not everyone understands it because they're like, oh, how could you say something like that? But, you know, it's like Stalin said, you know, dark humor is like food. Not everyone gets it.
Right.
Stalin said that.
Maybe. Top like 10 things Stalin said, I think.
Quoting Stalin, you know, Stalin.
Stalin.
Brad and I were talking about over the weekend. I said, we need some sort of saying that humor does not equal endorsement.
Right.
Like on Twitter, it says a retweet is not an endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to understand that.
Yeah.
Humor is not an endorsement of it.
Right.
Of whatever it is we're joking about.
In fact,
about.
Often it's a deconstruction of it. You
right.
know?
That's
like South
what
Park
satire
is a perfect
is.
Example. Right. South Park has the darkest humor on TV right now, but the stuff that they deal with is very serious. But they break it down, so that's like, okay.
I remember when the space shuttle blew up, the Challenger, back in 86. Mm-hmm. And instantly, it seemed, there were jokes on, but there wasn't an online then. I still wonder how the jokes got coast to coast so quickly. But that's how people dealt with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
that's how people dealt with the tragedy that was.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of people that really don't understand that. When people, especially people on the left, very sensitive to certain things. It's like, guys, that is, they get humor when it's stuff that that they want, but they do not get humor from the right. Then it's you're being insensitive or racist, whatever. No, it's dealing with it satirically and to make a point. Yeah. Let's see here. The Lion, the Witch, and the War Drone.
If you give a terrorist a passport.
Okay, there he is. Thanks to the world's okayest cop for that one. Heather has two body bags. There's one. Hashtag kids terrorism books. Cat in the hijab.
The Hardy Boys convert Nancy Drew.
The Baby Killers Club.
Little Red Riding Hijab.
Who's that one? Who's that one?
That would be Charles Aries.
Thanks for getting those in. We'll have some more of those and we'll tweet some of the best ones out. Hashtag kids terrorism books. Get them in on Twitter. Follow us there as well. We've got more coming up. We'll also get some of your calls. 888-727-BECK. Doc Thompson in on the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm here with Brad Staggs from The Blaze and also Brandon Morse on Twitter. It's The Brandon Morse or The Brandon Morse and The Blaze Brad at Doc Thompson Show. We're still looking for that hashtag kids terrorism books. Get those in. Kids terrorism books. Did you see John Kasich on The View? As a born and bred Buckeye, I am disgraced by John Kasich. He is such a disappointment that my homeland is represented by this dolt. He is, but he wasn't born in Ohio, just so you know. He's from Pennsylvania. That one's on you, PA.
What a your state's just goof. Fading back into the bushes like Homer Simpson.
I know. I mean, like, the only people who are not able to make fun of John Kasich in New Jersey. Because you got Chris Christie. Yeah, I mean, that's on you, New Jersey. Seriously. And you can't blame him on PA, can you? Horrible, horrible. So he's on The View with 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
Oh. 2 Chainz.
Yeah, 2 Chainz.
You know who 2 Chainz is, right? Yeah.
Tupac's brother.
Ben. Pretty sure. You know who 2 Chainz is, right?
Yeah.
2 Chainz.
Yeah, yeah. I know who 2 Chainz is. He's a rapper.
Yes, he's a rapper. He's a, of course.
Just
he's a
let you guys know.
He's a rapper.
He does the rap songs, you know. That
you're telling
the
me. You're telling me. I celebrate his entire catalog.
I love the rap.
Do you know that song? That that's really good.
Sure.
Hang on. It's
Rolling in My Hoopty. I know that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Did
also,
he do that one too?
I don't know if you guys remember. Who can forget the classic? No Lie, Explicit featuring Drake.
I bought that one on.
I remember Pimpin' Ain't Easy, Polecat in the Chicken House, and I think he covered Wonderwall, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think he did.
That was everyone else. He covered all those or whatever. Really, really solid stuff. So John Kasich is on The View as a guest with 2 Chainz.
Nice.
I don't know.
A likely combination.
Because if this is like a sitcom waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So somebody at The View said, here's our plan for today. Some producer said, let's get John Kasich and 2 Chainz
and a priest walk into a bar.
I got to see this.
So what is their point? Okay, we're going to play some of it. And at first, 2 Chainz is talking about helping out people in poverty, impoverished people, and he never saw anybody helping people in his community type of thing. And then John Kasich kind of jumps in and helps him out a little bit. Here it is.
I think it's important that, you know, I'm getting all these blessings. I'm selling merch. I'm doing tours around the world. I'm just being very successful. So for me, it's important that I show God that I appreciate it by helping out.
Wow. You know, 2 Chainz, I've been friends with Bono for a long time, and he uses his platform to do many great things around the world. So it's great to hear you do it as a rapper. Well, let's talk about music just for a second. So you work with Lil Wayne. You work with Lil Wayne. You work with Kanye. Yeah. My daughters and I used to really love to listen to Kanye. You work with you work with Nicki Minaj, who seems to be working with everybody, including Ariana Grande. Yeah. So, first of all, how do you pick who you want to collaborate with? And secondly, is it hard to get some of these folks? I mean, to get, you know, Nicki Minaj, is it hard to get them to do this with you?
Kid and I have been friends probably for maybe a decade now. We met through Lil Wayne.
Hold it right there. number one. He's mentioned in doing stuff. Well, you know, Bono.
Yeah, I know. I know, you know, Bono.
Let me go to Bono.
We go way back.
This is one of those classic, hello, fellow kids.
Yes.
Hi there.
How are you all today?
Are we doing the trip hop today?
Yeah.
The trip hop.
Are we trip hopping?
The music, yes. I'm down with it. The new dance steps and
I'm
all.
I'm a cool cat too.
Okay.
Daddy O. Wow.
I like to sit around and listen to Kanye with my daughters.
Trust me, if his daughters were saying, let's listen to the music, Dad. You've done something wrong exactly. Just like in Ohio, right? I'm serious. That's not normal. It's not natural if your kids are saying, Dad, let's listen to hip-hop.
That was representative of his entire 2016 campaign too, right there. That just that same feeling just washed over me. I remember that now. I remember it now.
Right, right. It's just a fail across the board. It's an embarrassment for him.
Just like, stop, sit down, sit down, sit down.
Oh. Once again, the people of Ohio this morning were like, John, come on, just stop trying to seem relevant. The only thing he didn't do there is remind you that his dad was a postal worker. That's the only thing he did. And by the way, let me tell you, when my dad was on his route, he'd listen to Nicki Minaj, even before she was born.
Yeah, that's right.
He knew someday she'd be big in a crystal ball.
Can I call you True? How do you choose your collaborators?
Just hearing him say 2 Chainz. Just when he says 2 Chainz. In fact, let's play this again. Cue this up again for the beginning. And listen to how he says 2 Chainz and when he starts name dropping. Well, 2 Chainz.
I think it's important that, you know, I'm getting all these blessings. I'm selling merch. I'm doing tours around the world. I'm just being very successful. So for me, it's important that I show God that I appreciate it by helping others.
Wow. You know, 2 Chainz, I've been friends with Bono for a long time, and he uses his platform to do many great things around the world. So it's great to hear you do it as a rapper. Let's talk about music just for a second. Oh, so you work with Lil Wayne. You work with Lil Wayne. You work with Kanye. Yeah. My daughters and I used to really love to listen to Kanye. You work with Nicki Minaj, who seems to be working with everybody, including Ariana Grande.
Okay. Yes. How about that Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne.
No, Lil Wayne and Kanye.
How about him?
Surprised he didn't bring up 2 Chainz's former name. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say Tighty Boy.
That really?
T-I-T-Y, boy.
Wow.
That's a good name.
So here's my question, and John Kasich, you're welcome to call in 888-727-BECK. I'll have you on any time, sir.
Defend yourself, please, sir.
888-727-BECK. You're welcome on this or my morning radio program on the Blaze Radio Network. Please, were you the one who said, "Hey, girls, I've got something I'd like you to hear. Let me put this on the old high fidelity for you there."
I've got the
quadraphonic sound. How does it? You're down with all of these?
We're listening to Mr. West.
Mr. West, his name's Kanye. Or were they like, "Hey, Dad, check this out," and you were like, "Well, it's got a snappy beat, and I can dance to it." Which way was it?
Who availed
Kanye to the other?
Yeah, right? I got to know because he had to do a little research before this.
Yeah. You could see he was so trying to go.
Yeah,
there.
He was like, the Kanye, this isn't stuff that he talks about, right? He had to go to a source.
His people are like, governor.
Just tell him you listen to it with your daughters.
Governor, 2 Chainz is going to be on with you. Who?
Both of them?
Wait, what?
Here's the problem.
Are they twins? What's the, and then, don't worry. We've done some prep work for you because you got to brief them, right? Here's your briefing. Just say Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Say Lil Wayne. Then say Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to worry about his lies. Just get Kanye down.
Yeah. As soon as you say Kanye, you're solid.
You're good.
But if he does listen to it with his daughters, then that's a horrible father. We just heard a clip of 2 Chainz music earlier and it was pretty X-rated.
Yeah.
It's a little X-rated.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, he's dropping the N-word and everything else. It's typical rap music or whatever, but of course, that's not going to be an issue. Yeah. He's just sucking up to the celebrity on the show. That's who it is. So they have the two of them on, and John starts asking 2 Chainz, with a Z, 2 Chainz, questions. He's interviewing him. So how do you collaborate? How are they?
Which is your writing partners.
Right, which is standard question that somebody would ask if they really are not interested. Like somebody wrote that question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you.
No, yeah, yeah. No,
right. He was not prepared. Engaging in some sort of debate on social issues or even music. It's not like, oh, I love that one song.
Right.
It's a, who do you collaborate with and how do you choose them, right?
I would have had so much respect for Kasich if he had just actually come into that
I
going,
don't know who the hell you are.
I don't know who you are or what you do. Can That's you tell right. me about yourself a little bit?
Right, exactly. That's what you do.
So you're a singer.
So if he's interviewing people like that, if that's what he set up, was he a member of the cast of The View that day?
I'm guessing he was, if he was one of the, because, you know, they do
They normally only have one guest on.
Right.
So The View said, who is clearly progressive, said, let's go get somebody progressive to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and got a male.
Mm-hmm.
John Kasich's a male, right?
Mm.
He hasn't started identifying
differently? I believe that is, yeah. I don't know what he identifies
I mean, that's
as,
the general
but from
consensus.
What I can understand right now.
Okay, they went and got a male who shares their views.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who might have a little bit of something in common.
He was a Republican running for president, right?
Yeah.
So I think that sums it up right there.
Yeah. Yep. But, I mean, let's face facts, guys. This is good TV.
Oh, yeah.
This awkwardness is good TV.
Oh, yeah.
They were originally... Oh, it's wonderful. It's gold,
yeah,
trust me. The more that John Kasich can be on camera, not in office...
Yeah.
But just, we want him on camera, the better. In fact, I hope John Kasich runs for president over and over. Not be president.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Clarification.
Big
we
difference.
We do not want him to be president.
Right.
We just want him to run.
We can make
for
a
president.
Show out of it. I mean, like, we can put Yakety Saxon on whenever he starts talking.
Exactly. Right. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Dancers this, behind him.
This shows John Kasich's level of failure, though. They were talking about giving back to communities and helping out.
Like Bono.
Like Bono does and whatever. John Kasich still has that big government handout mentality.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Right.
When he ran for president, he said over and over again how he cut taxes and all of this stuff. He did not. He cut some taxes and raised other taxes. You don't balance a budget when you have deficits by not bringing in more money. It's impossible. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you bring in more money in government by taxes.
Yeah.
It was a shell game. Look, we lower taxes over here. We raised a bunch of taxes over here.
Yeah.
John Kasich is likely going to run again. He's probably going to do it. So the more we get that information out before next time is good. But John Kasich still, as a Republican, has that big government mentality, the handout mentality.
Right.
When what we need to do is start telling the world, and even the progressives out there, yes, it is our responsibility to take care of the least among us, us as individuals,
right,
not the government.
Exactly.
Because the government fails when they do it, as evident the last 240 years.
Yeah.
Do we have more or fewer people on poverty, even
Way
by
more
percentage?
Than ever. The war on poverty only increased poverty.
It only increased it, exactly. So they're not; it's not effective. The government can't handle it. Fails, waste, graft, corruption, and then finally, we're called upon as Christians to do it, or other people of faith, to do it ourselves. And it's better because you're able to monitor.
Mm-hmm.
If I give the money to the government and they redistribute it to people around the globe, or certainly a little closer to home around the country, I don't know if somebody in Texas right now, if the guy in Seattle's using it properly, if he really needed it.
Right.
But if I lend money to my buddy Brandon, acquaintance Brandon, if I lend money to him, I'm going to see him. And it's like, hey, Brandon, you said you need to pay your rent, but you're hanging out at the Indian casino.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed you bought some new clothes and you're smoking cigarettes and you're drinking.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have put some of that money toward your rent.
And you
I'm
wasted
able to
some
monitor.
Of the money.
That's right. And there's some ways you may have wasted it as well. It's more effective that way. And that's something John Kasich, The View, and even 2 Chainz obviously don't get.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about Kasich, though, winning. I think that Dwayne Johnson and Tom Hanks will beat him.
Is Tom Hanks going to run now?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he's going to do?
It's going to be Kanye and Kasich.
I mean, now that Trump opened the door, I can see it just being celebrity.
It's coming.
This is Idiocracy.
It is
Idiocracy.
It's West Kasich 2020. That's what's coming.
West Kasich.
West Kasich.
Oh, my God.
It's Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck and the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Diary of a Wimpy Jihadist. Hashtag kids terrorism books. Green eggs and ham offs. From Rick. To behead a mockingbird. Hashtag kids terrorism books on Twitter. Ahmed has 2 goats. 1 bomb, 2 bomb, red bomb, blue bomb. Hashtag terrorism, kids terrorism books.
Third rail TM. I got to give him this one. Horton hears diversity.
Horton hears a TikTok.
Hashtag kids terrorism books. Get him in. A member elect of the British Parliament in the UK has an idea on how we should deal with suicide bombers.
Yeah.
They need the death penalty. Mm-hmm. They need the...
Yeah, I remember reading that and going, you know what?
Death
I
agree. Penalty for suicide bombers.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't specifically say for suicide bombers. She was talking for terrorists.
Right.
But she was saying that on the heels of what happened in Manchester, which, okay, they arrested 16 other people now. They arrested a few more over the weekend, so we're up to 16 people that they've arrested, including the bombers' two brothers, dad, and cousin.
Good
and
Lord.
Then they arrested a woman who may have been involved, which is a little bit different. Most of them are traditionally male. I think of the 16, 12 of them are males between the ages of 16 and 34, something like that. But you don't come on the heels of the bomber and say they need the death penalty because they're already dead.
Yeah.
It's not going to help you out a lot.
Yeah, I feel like you're missing out on the part where they die. That's a suicide part.
Yeah.
She said, much needs to be done to eradicate this evil, but there is one simple step which we can take now. We must bring back the death penalty. This is the first time I have called for this. Many will argue that I'm calling for revenge killings motivated by hatred. Others will argue that I'm inhumane and we live in a civilized society. Then there will be those who say that the death penalty is not a deterrent, that the warped perpetrators want, in this case, is to die. Okay, they do. You're right. And the other 16 people are found guilty. Fine, you can make that argument. But who's the worst in the scenario? The guy who actually blew himself up.
Right.
By the way, they're looking for a bag he was pulling, a suitcase. He had a backpack and a suitcase when he did the trial run 4 hours earlier. The backpack blew up.
Is still missing.
They don't know where the suitcase is. Is it another bomb? We don't know.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You have no right to protest American laws on American soil if you are not here legally. If you're on American soil illegally, you're not an American. You have no right to protest American laws, period. I don't care if what you're protesting is moral. You have no legal right to do so. This is so infuriating to me.
But they keep getting away with it.
Yep. There was a ruckus at this Texas State House over the weekend. It was the final day of their session. And they passed a piece of legislation that would ban sanctuary cities in Texas and then punish any local communities who acted as a sanctuary city. And that is not only a good thing, it shouldn't even have to get to that. There should be no sanctuary cities. I don't care what you're sanctuarying against. It's wrong. It's not the law. If you don't agree with the law, then work to change the law.
Right.
So if you want to say, well, I don't agree with anti-murder laws, you ought to be able to murder people. You don't harbor murderers.
Yeah.
You're in violation of the law.
Right.
What you do is work to make murder legal if that's what you support.
Right.
So what happened was a bunch of illegals pile in and they're in the rotunda and protesting. Some of them having signs and shirts that say, I am illegal and here to stay, admitting that they're in the country illegally. Maybe some of them were wearing the shirts and that in solidarity, but I would venture that with that many people piled in there, some of them were being honest.
Yeah.
We've seen that. Hell, we had President Obama bring one into the Capitol during one of his State of the Union addresses.
Yes.
This has happened. Admitted illegals being sheltered by people. They're harboring people who are violating the law. And it's not a one violation. Their very existence continues to violate the law every second.
Right.
If I go out and shoot somebody and somebody harbors me, they're harboring me as an illegal being on the run.
Right.
Okay. But it was only based on one crime than being on the run. They're continuing to violate the law every second that they're here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Every day saying I'm here and I know I'm doing wrong. So they have the shirts, they're wearing them, they're protesting. Now, what should have happened was they should have come in and rounded them all up and taken them away.
Right.
Show me your papers. Can you prove that you're here legally? Okay. You're admitting, you're telling law enforcement and everybody else by your shirts and signs you're illegal.
Right. Yeah.
This is like saying to a cop as he walks by, I got pot on me. I got pot on me.
Yeah.
That's probable cause. Yeah. I just beat the hell out of some dude in that alley. I just raped a woman. Whatever. That's probable cause.
Right.
Cops should go up and say, well, show me you're not.
Yeah.
They're admitting this. They didn't do that. So a Republican representative, Matt Rinaldi, put on Facebook and then said to one of his Democrat colleagues that he called ICE on him.
Okay.
Fair enough. You guys
aren't upset about this?
Nope.
No.
Okay, no. Neither am I. It's what he should have done. In fact, Matt, the sad thing is, that nobody else called ICE.
Yeah.
All of your other colleagues should have. Everybody else in the state house. Yeah, they should have done it. Even the Democrats. This is what should happen. They're right. In violation of the law. Instead, he claims two Democrat colleagues, one of them physically assaulted him and the other one verbally assaulted him.
Really?
That one of them, and he didn't go into detail of what the physical assault was that I know, but this is what he claimed happened, which caused a ruckus amongst the legislators as well.
Yeah.
So you have all of the illegals back and forth and the protesters and everything out there and the hullabaloo there that actually ends up causing, because of this dispute between the two guys or three guys, more of a ruckus on the floor of the House. So they get into it as well. So then Matt Rinaldi posts kind of an explanation on Facebook. He says, today, Representative Pancho Navarez, threatened my life on the floor after I called ICE on several illegal immigrants who held signs in the gallery. When I told Democrats I called ICE, Representative Raymond Romero physically assaulted me, and other Democrats were held back by colleagues.
Yeah.
During the time, Pancho told me he would get me on the way to my car. He later approached me and reiterated that I had to leave at some point and he would get me.
Wow.
So, okay.
Welcome to Texas.
Right. In addition to the guys who assaulted him that he named, he's saying that other ones were held back. They had to be held back.
Yeah.
Did he do, leftists? What did he do, Democrats?
Yeah.
He called the police.
He had the law enforced.
On the Dreamers. That's the problem. He had it. He called the
authorities
on
the Dreamers. How is he wrong?
Yeah.
Even if you think that the cops strangely should not enforce the law.
Right.
Why was he wrong?
Because these people are just here because they have a dream. They want to live the American dream.
Yeah.
Why are you such a hater?
But I get the argument with that. But what did he do wrong by calling the police?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you
nothing.
See something, say something.
That doesn't matter. It's mean to do that.
Yeah, and that's what it boils down to right there. You know, we're dealing with some poor, unfortunate souls, the lesser amongst the marginalized community. How dare he act against them?
Right.
How dare he? Doesn't matter that what they're doing is illegal. It doesn't matter that many of the let's be honest, many of these people who come over here are committing crimes. They're not put back. All right. They're here to stay. All right. It doesn't matter if like that's who they're defending. All right. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to say that this is all who they are. Right.
But there
are many people out there who
really feeling.
Right. Some. But at the same time, you have to say these people are causing major problems.
And the percentage, even if lower, of illegals that come that commit crimes versus regular populace, which there's no way to determine that.
Right.
First of all, people on the left will be the first ones to tell you these people live in the shadows and they don't like to report crimes. Well, they're not going to report crimes that happen in their community if it's committed by people that are like them, illegal.
Right.
You would never know. But even if you can definitively prove, Doc, it's a tenth of the amount of crime committed by people that are already here.
That crime still
would not exist if they were not here.
Exactly, if we were enforcing the law.
And it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's still a violation of the law.
Exactly.
So your argument is we don't like the law. So the law should not be enforced.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. You should enforce the law. But even if your argument is it's so important what these people are going through to get them help that it trumps the law or whatever, let's talk about that for a moment. The argument constantly is these people just want a better way of life.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's the hypocrisy of many of the people that support them because they lock their doors.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let me come in for a better way of life. How many millionaires and billionaires support illegal immigration?
Yeah.
They don't let me come into their house and just take stuff. Hell, going to their house is going to be a hell of a lot better than my life.
Yep.
I want a better life. Do you guys want a better life?
Oh, yeah.
And you know for a fact they'll call the police on you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And they build walls
and
everything.
About it.
Hey, Zuckerberg has actually built a wall around his property. It might be the property. It's either Hawaii or the Hamptons. I can't remember which. He was in a dispute with neighbors.
Yeah.
Because he wanted more space and to build a higher, more complete wall.
Yeah,
and he supports illegals.
I feel like one of the biggest offenders was Stephen King, who's constantly banging this drum.
Right.
Of, you know, illegals need to be welcomed and we need to be more, you know, we need better. But have you seen his property? It's massive. It's got a huge wall around it. He doesn't let anyone in.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So give away your money and tear down your wall and let me flop at your house. Just come on and get free stuff and redistribute your wealth or you're hypocrites.
Yeah.
But that aside, what is the best way to deal with the people around the world that are poverty stricken? Would we be able to simply open our borders and say, come on in, we got to help all you people? No.
No.
America would no longer exist.
Right.
You cannot distribute it that way. It would overwhelm us. It's the drowning man thing. If somebody is drowning, you can't just jump in and grab them.
Right.
If you do it wrong, you drown.
Exactly.
They will take you down. Now, I'm a Christian. I believe in helping people. There's a right way and a wrong way. The right way is not support people violating the law, support us not knowing who people are, open borders, we would never be able to protect America and help people in the future, or condone bad or illegal behavior. The way to help people is to allow people to legally immigrate here every year, which we do, 1 million people from Mexico alone, and then to help as best we can people make their country and local communities better.
And I think that's really where it should
start.
We
do.
Yeah. But here's the problem. You know, and I forget who said this, but it used to be much easier to immigrate here. That is true. People would just get off a ship and they'd be, you know, what's your name? Scoffer Markowitz. Well, then we're going to have to make that easier.
In a sense.
Yeah. Well, but here's the problem. We didn't have entitlements back then. And that's the crux of everything here.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot have all of these people who are primarily poor come in, get on the government dole, because that's just going to skyrocket taxpayer, like what we have to pay into it, entitlements, way beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, and our economy would crumble. This is why we can't have open borders. Look, you know, this is just, I get the sentiment. I do. I feel bad for many of these people. You know, they're living in hell holes where their, you know, lives are ruled by drug lords. You know, they live in these poverty-stricken neighborhoods. They want to come here for a better life. I understand that, and I feel for them. I really do. But if they all come here like they want to, they're just going to wind up in the same exact place that they left.
Well, and the cynical side of me says it's not about helping them. It's about another voting block. It's each and Democrats and Republicans, they both do it.
Right.
You get this big lump of votes to come across.
George W. Bush even did it.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's
so you think
those...
they're disingenuous about helping people?
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases.
But even for those that truly want to help people, you can't tear apart their families and you are willing to forget that I didn't cause their problems. I didn't cause the possibility of their families being split up. They did when they came here illegally and brought their families or had kids, knowing that they could be split at some time. That was a choice they made.
Right.
But even if you're saying that we need to care for them and that matters most, then let's take this piece by piece. I, as somebody who am staunchly against illegal immigration and powerfully in favor of legal immigration, as many as we can bring to America without hurting America, if it's 10 million a year, 500 a year, whatever it is, powerfully in favor of legal immigration, controlled. Let's stop with comprehensive immigration reform where we throw everything together. There's three main phases: border security, legal immigration reform, and what to do with the illegals that are here. Fix the border first, all as separate bills. The only reason you want comprehensive plans is because you want to tack on the illegals being legalized somehow.
Right.
So number one, let's take them apart. We can solve a lot of this
right
off. Let's fix the border. Great, yep. Done. Let's reform the legal immigration system. And what it should be is controlled so we know who people are. But the big problem with legal immigration is the expense.
Yeah.
For about $20,000 in total is what it takes to legally immigrate here by the time you navigate the legal system. So you've got people that are likely poor coming here paying $20,000 they don't have. I think I just checked recently, and to file the form for your citizenship, once you meet every other standard, is about $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of cash for me,
yeah, it is.
Let alone somebody coming here poor. So make that cheaper. Make it easier to understand. Not necessarily easier, but easier to understand. I'm fine with all of that. Great, we can do that. Mm-hmm. You want to fix the visas and have guest workers? Fine, I'm okay with all that. We can do it. Boom, done. So we've just solved most of the issues we have with immigration. As long as we separate them, and then what do you have left? The illegals that are here. And you got two types. Those that are here illegally and those that were brought here illegally. I reluctantly am willing to say the kids didn't violate the law. They didn't bring them here. Who violated the law? Although they're illegal, they didn't do it. Their parents or guardians brought them here.
Right.
Okay. I'll reluctantly meet you halfway and say, we can come up with something. Stop calling them dreamers.
Yeah.
Knock that crap off.
Yeah.
And I'll meet you and say, fine. But I cannot abide by legalizing pathway to citizenship people who broke the law when so many other people didn't. And if you're somebody that's saying these people just need help, doc, or whatever, I've already told you, I'm willing to be compassionate and find ways to help people.
Yeah,
but the people that came here legally that are out $20,000 each, like my mother-in-law and my wife, are they going to reimburse us for the $40,000 between the two of them? I could use $40,000 right now, guys, just so you know. You going to go ahead and give that money back to us? No. Yeah.
And they already know how to game the system. Illegal immigrants receive benefits on behalf of their U.S.-born children. In fact, roughly 62% of households headed by an illegal immigrant receive some form of welfare.
Right.
Right. They know how to game it because legally the federal government is not allowed to give people who are in the country illegally free stuff.
Right.
But they find a way to game the system.
They get it.
And they are able to get free schooling because that's a Supreme Court ruling from back in the day. If you are a child in America, regardless of all else, you are entitled to a free education.
Right.
Back with more on this. Some of your phone calls, 888-727-BECK, coming up next on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
We are
the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Another case where people melted down over law enforcement doing their jobs, specifically ICE, was in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is so bizarre and funny and appropriate. Some ICE agents went into a restaurant in Ann Arbor around 11:30 in the morning, ordered some lunch, ate lunch, got up, went into the kitchen, and arrested three people. Is that a problem?
Oh, just another Tuesday.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
I think it's the fact they ate lunch before they did.
I know. It's like,
why wouldn't you eat lunch first? It's lunchtime.
Food was good.
You know,
maybe, we got to do our jobs, but man, I want a panini right now.
Yeah.
They're like, listen. Only an illegal could have made this good. Trust me. Nobody in America, legal Americans making lunch this good. Maybe when they were in there, that's when they found out.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe they were investigating.
Maybe it was, maybe it was just a little bit of a hold off until we can confirm after some tacos.
Or maybe they were just hungry for, you know, guys, we could arrest them first. Or maybe we just eat first.
What if they paid for their meal?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe they went in there and they're like, all right, listen, we go... That smells really, really good. Prices are pretty good.
We're
going
to need our strength if we're going
to. That's right. We're
going
to have to.
We got to keep our strength up.
Things might get a little physical, guys, and I do better on a humble stomach.
Why are you so upset by this? It was lunchtime. Were they. Like, I'd be more upset if they took lunch and didn't have a lunch scheduled, you know?
I got to admit, this is kind of Tarantino for some odd reason. This reminds me of a Tarantino movie.
They walk into the kitchen and pull out their gun and start shooting.
I mean, they arrested three people. Why is this a problem? There was an illegals advocate that happened to be there and said, I'm appalled at the current situation in the United States. I'm trying to get information about what really happened and help as much as we can.
I was like, okay. Oh, yeah, great.
Why?
What's that mean?
They're so upset that they ate lunch first.
It feels a little cold to have, you know, your lunch served to you and you're going to arrest the guy who did it, you know. That yeah, it's Tarantino a little bit. But at the same time, so what?
So what? What really happened here is they were upset that the people got arrested, period.
That's the real problem. What it really boils down
That's what it boils down to. But they needed to find some additional reason to be hurt and offended by this. They were doing their job.
Exactly.
And by the way, they wouldn't have been in the restaurant in the first place, likely, if the people hadn't hired or had illegals working there.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the truth.
I saw an interview with, I think, either the manager or someone that worked there that was complaining about, you know, they took in these three wonderful people who were just doing their job, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the visas had expired. I think the bottom line was they all three had done something illegal.
Okay, if the visa's expired, I'm sorry.
It's expired.
Don't let it expire. Renew it. If you're not able to, well, then you got to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, I would like to point out, since we're on the subject of expiring visas, this is how most illegals get here. They come here legally.
Sure.
And then it expires, and then they're here illegally, which is why a lot of this nonsense about...
It's about 50-50, right?
They're sneaking into the country. Like, well, yeah, they are. But a lot of them are coming here legally and staying here illegally.
What's the solution to deal with people that overstay their visa?
I don't know personally. There are experts out there who have tackled this problem, but I would assume that the best way to handle it is to just make it easier to have it renewed.
Put an ankle bracelet on.
Are you working? Are you working? Are you being useful to the U.S.?
I got a couple ideas. Number one, you should not be able to do business, get hired, whatever. The E-Verify, which has existed for a long time, needs to be enforced. So you can't continue to do work if, you know, and if any business knows somebody's visa has expired, you got to report it or get rid of them.
Right.
Or we just microchip them.
Yes.
You're like Escape from New York. You put the pellet right in the neck. Is that insensitive?
That's a little.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Doc Thompson in for Glenn Beck today. I'm joined by Brad Staggs from The Blaze and Brandon Morris from The Blaze. You can reach them on Twitter. It's at The Blaze Brad, at The Brandon Morris, and at Doc Thompson Show for me. We're still using that hashtag kids terrorism books, and some people are pretty ticked about that. Why would Twitter even allow this hashtag?
Ridiculous.
Some people really just do not get comedy, satire. They don't get dark humor, certainly. It's crazy. And, of course, hashtag what I learned today throughout the program as well, if you learn anything. Don't forget to join me tomorrow morning on the Blaze Radio Network, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We're talking about immigration, and I see that... immigration may be an issue in the Virginia gubernatorial election, which is coming up this year. Going at it back and forth, looking for gubernatorial candidates. And one of the candidates is a guy who served one term in the House of Representatives from, I can't remember what district it is. It encompasses Charlottesville, which is where the University of Virginia is, Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's house, and his name is Tom Perriello. So he's running for governor as a Democrat. Tom Perriello has a nickname in Virginia. It's One Term Tom because he served one term. He was given that nickname by me when he got elected. So he gets elected to what turned out to be his one term, and I was like, okay, this guy's done. There's no way he serves more than one term. And I started calling him One Term Tom. And he served one term and got booted out.
You're like an oracle.
Oh, I just beat him up constantly because he has connections with some of these different groups that Glenn has spotlighted over the years that are funded by George Soros. Yeah. That's what he did before he ran for Congress. And I actually went and saw him speak one time in Charlottesville area. And just crazy. The extremist progressive ideology and completely wrong. But you got to remember, like, Charlottesville is very progressive in the city because the university's there and all the people that work for the university. Meanwhile, it's surrounded by bright red, you know, all the way around it. But he's running for governor now. So I hope to change that to no term Tom. So people of Virginia, those of you listening at WRVA right now, if you fondly remember many days of me in the afternoon saying no term Tom, this better be, or one term Tom, this better be no term Tom right. for governor.
I love
this,
it.
I mean, Terry McAuliffe to one term Tom Perriello.
Mm-hmm. You know they had lost their minds if that's the case.
The early governors of Virginia were people like Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Notable
and
figures.
And Tom Perriello.
One term Tom.
And, you know, other... This is not what we're looking for.
It sounds like something out of a sitcom.
I'm not it's hilarious, though. I heard from some people. I mean, they knew in his camp as he was running for re-election, he had known that this name was out there.
Yeah.
And they were not happy, and they knew it was mine.
Did you ever get a letter?
No, but they knew. They knew and hated me for this.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, so
I would have loved to have just heard like any kind of reaction from him toward you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know they.
It would be the entryway, like the intro to your show day.
And that was the, if I remember right, it would have been the midterm elections in 2010.
Mm.
I think is when he was up for re-election.
Oh.
I think he rode in on the wave of 2008, and it was a real close race anyways, and it had already been Republican. And so when the night of re-election 2010, my phone starts. I mean, the race was called. It's like the polls are will be closing in 30. Wait, Tom Perriello has lost. It was like they predicted before the polls closed. It was like he is done. Right? It was that bad. My phone starts because there was a lot of elections that we were covering, a lot of interesting races, and my phone starts going nuts. I'm like, the polls have just closed, and everybody's like, Tom Perriello's out, one term Tom, you're right. It was good
if
stuff.
If only there were hashtags. Very
he
funny.
Said he's running for governor of Virginia because Trump changed everything.
Well, he's not wrong.
What do you mean specifically, though?
That's a good question.
He changed the nameplate on the door. It doesn't say Obama anymore.
He's being about as broad as Trump.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to fix it all. I'm the only one.
You people in Virginia, do your homework and look into what he did prior to running for governor and see the connections. I mean, it was like groups that were granted funds from other groups. Oh, George Soros. It's like that. So do your homework.
So how progressive is the guy, though?
Oh,
like, are we talking about like Elizabeth Warren progressive? Or?
Oh, no. He's far worse than Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, really? So he's full Macintosh.
Oh,
you're on a
wheel. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great.
These two headlines, though. Tom Perriello has an anti-abortion, pro-gun voting record. And then the next headline is Barack Obama stars in Tom Perriello's first campaign ad.
Yeah, exactly.
How do those two go together?
Right, it's not. Check out his track record and you'll see. So yesterday was Memorial Day, and hopefully you spent some time, even if it was just a moment, recognizing what the holiday was supposed to be about, what it is for.
Yeah.
Start off, of course, Decoration Day, but it is to take a day specifically to honor people who died in service to America. It's always been interesting to me that it gets confused with Veterans Day.
Right.
It's always great to honor veterans, and certainly we set a day aside for that.
Right.
But Memorial Day is something different. It's interesting how many people don't know what it means. Some younger generations don't even know it's connected to military service at all.
It's a barbecue.
Right. It is Memorial Day. It's kind of a generic name. It's not Memorial for something.
Right.
It's so dumbed down. So hopefully it took a moment to do it. There were a bunch of stories that came out about veterans over the weekend as well. People like to time it with that, even though, as we've said, it's not Veterans Day, but still, those people who died were veterans as well.
Right.
And an Inspector General report about the VA hospital in Chicago. Yet another one. They have not solved the problems.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't done this. It's not gotten better. It's not gotten better at all. And we continue to have the same malfunction. So they released a report that said, as far back as 2011, this one Chicago area veterans hospital had reports of massive infestation problems, massive cockroach infestation problems.
Ugh.
I mean, they said so severe that the bugs were served to patients in their food.
Ew,
that
you've got to be kidding
me. No, they actually served it too. So it wasn't just that, okay, we're cooking in the hospital. Oh, there's another bug in the food. Let's scrape him out of there.
But yeah, they didn't find the roach accidentally in later on.
No,
it was in there. They saw it and they served it.
And they served it.
Unreal.
Right. The cafeteria overrun, the hospital. You would see them, you move stuff, cockroaches all over the place. And so bad that they even just started serving them. It's just like, we're not going to be able to pick the roaches
out. You got to be kidding.
They served veterans cockroaches.
Oh.
Now, we talked.
They don't deserve this. They don't. Our veterans do not deserve this kind of treatment.
Exactly. We have a moral and legal contract with them.
Right.
The very people that seem to not care about veterans and what goes on are the same people who complain that we need to take care of the people that are hurting that came here illegally.
Yeah.
And while I agree as a Christian, we need to do those things.
Right.
You've got veterans who are hurting just as much who we have a moral and legal contract with.
Who served you, put their lives on the line for you so that you can live your life complaining about them.
Right.
You know?
They're just as important as the illegals. And then some.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? As a Christian, as a person of faith, you say these are human beings we need to help. That's the baseline for it.
Exactly. Right.
Just like the illegals. But there are also people who we said, yes, if you do this, we will take care of these things. And we have a moral contract to take care of people on top of our fellow human beings because they did something for me.
Mm-hmm.
They protected my family.
Exactly.
And they continue to protect us. If not for them, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation.
Exactly.
So they fed them cockroaches. This has been going on since 2011. We got the report just now.
Unreal.
They completed the report last May.
Is this Heinz Veterans Administration?
This one is Chicago. This might be, Edward Heinz Jr. Hospital. So for 5 years, from 2011 to 2016, they knew this was going on. They completed the report a year ago. Okay, that's the biggest failure right there. Going on for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We get the report a year later. Why do we get the report a year later? Mm-hmm. Most of the inspectors' general reports come out within a couple of months. And by the way, these reports come out about every branch of the government, every department. They're always failures. They never fix it. It doesn't matter if it's a waste, graft, fraud problem in some other part of the government. It still goes on. And they, we're going to get to the bottom of it. It's the same talking points and lip service and nothing changes. If we cannot fix the Veterans Administration, then forget everything else. Yep. All of the other problems we have, left versus right, Democrats, Republicans, fixing the tax code, Obamacare, now the American Health Care Act, forget all of that stuff.
Yep.
If we cannot fix the Veterans Administration, the rest is moot.
Exactly. And it's a good, I mean, it's a good gauge for us too.
Yeah.
We
how
can't
well
take
we're
care
taking
of the
care
people?
Of our the people who fought for us.
If we can't take care of those people, we can't take, and there are, if we can't take care of ourselves in that manner, we can't take care of anybody else. Why are we even trying?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And what bothers me is that I feel like this is so political. The left will go out of their way to make sure that illegals have the best of everything, education, healthcare.
Can you give us half that effort?
Yeah, can you give us a little bit just for the people who died or who were willing to die for you?
Right.
Can you do that for them?
And this has literally been going on since America's inception. We hear the big reports come out every few years, the bigger scandals. Literally, I mean, go back and look at the timeline. It is every administration has had one. It's every 2 to 3 years, a big, you know, something happens and people go, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Sometimes they fire somebody at the top, promise something changes, or will change, and nothing changes. The difference now, they're lying about the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they would say, we're going to get to the bottom and implement new changes 5 years go by, and we find out that there's still problems. Now they are lying to us and telling us that they changed and they didn't. I'm going to explain that when we come back on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
It's bad enough that the problems at the Veterans Administration don't actually get fixed, and every couple of years we have a scandal and very little changes. But now they're starting to lie to us. There's no transparency. They're telling us they fix things when they're actually not. And they're marketing it that they have. So one of the big things was the wait times. If you remember, the Phoenix Veterans Administration facility had a problem with the wait times, and people had literally died because the wait times were not efficient. So what they did under Bob McDonnell, they said, we're going to change the system on try to clean it up to get people in and out of the hospital faster. You know, so you get to your appointments faster and you get to see people, your treatments faster. Mm-hmm. That has not changed. The wait times are just as long, in some cases, even longer. But it looks like they're not.
No.
A new IG report says a couple of things. First of all, they changed how they count the days that you have waited.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a new counting system, yeah, first of all. And then the new report that just came out says that they concluded that patient wait time records were altered and patients were denied timely care. They are outright lying. So in addition to setting up a new system that makes it look like, oh, the wait times are down. Just, it's a new counting method,
yeah,
like the point of when they start counting.
It's moving numbers around.
Right, it's moving numbers.
Yeah.
But now they've actually lied, and in some cases may have asked people to lie. And the new IG report goes down the list to show other failures at hospitals all over the place. And it doesn't matter where you are. The one in D.C., Minneapolis.
Your call a while back, too. I mean, the Robert Donald tried to basically write it off. Well, like, Disney doesn't care about their wait times. Like, there is a moral failing here.
Right, right.
And by the way, I don't know if y'all remember, Disney responded and said, actually, we
do.
Our wait time.
We had fast track.
Seriously.
We had fast track and all this other
stuff.
Like,
we make sure that while you wait, you're entertained and everything like that. And I mean, just destroyed this guy. But this is the problem right here, is that the leadership, like you said earlier, does not seem to give a damn.
No, they don't.
They will make excuses for their failures, not because they feel bad about it, but because they don't care.
So ultimately, you see, talk solutions. Solutions are, veterans have to be more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
We know free market will and choice actually works.
Right.
The solution is more of a choice card type card program. When they first set up the choice card that said veterans will be able to have a card and be able to, if they don't have access to certain timely care, they'll be able to take it. But there were restrictions put on it when they first slammed this through, when this latest VA scandal broke a few years ago. They said you had to be waiting so long and not within so much distance of a hospital and all this. I know Representative Dave Jolly from Florida was really pushing that through and then pushed greater choice through. He's been on it for veterans, God bless him. He said that and has pushed for more freedom with it, which is what they just recently did, gave more ability for you to just go and get health care. So the solution is simplify it and say, veterans, go get your health care, whatever. We have about $180 billion budget that if you divided that up amongst the veterans equally, the people who get health care, it's like $20,000 a year, low 20s. We could give them $20,000. You can get an insurance plan for half of that.
Yeah.
Well, and Hines VA Hospital says that they've now cleaned up the problem with the roaches. They've hired a contractor to provide nightly cleaning in the kitchen.
Every day. All right. Thanks to Brad Staggs and Brandon Morse for joining me today. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the Blaze Radio Network. We'll have more about veterans there. Use that hashtag #FixTheVA for more information on what's failing at the Veterans Administration.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.